This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pole. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude. We are positioned this morning at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, as we continue our exclusive Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series, bringing you live coverage of major stakes races all the way through the Florida Derby every single Saturday right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy to have everybody joining us coast to coast and worldwide on Sirius XM 93 and on affiliates across the country and, of course, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. JT, now that all the particulars are out of the way. Good morning, my friend.
Quite the litany. Good morning. Yeah, it is a good morning. Spectacular here at Gulfstream, sun shining. Nice feel to the air. It's beautiful. The birds are out chirping. A parrot came by a few seconds ago, squawking, kind of interesting. And it's going to be a great day here. Nice card, ready to roll.
Yeah, and it's about time that we've gotten that typical South Florida weather that you come to expect at this time of year, because the past couple of weeks, and I know our friends up north that are sitting there in minus 13-degree weather right now are not going to want to hear this, but the past couple of weeks have been very atypical for this part of the country, with a lot of rain, cold, wind, and when I say cold, we're talking temperatures in the 50s and 60s, so not frigid by any stretch of the imagination, but not like you've come to expect from this part of the country at this time of the year. Today, the complete opposite. Mid-70s for a high this afternoon. Gorgeous sunrise right now. We posted a video of horses working out on our HRN Twitter account. Spectacular day here in Hallandale Beach.
Yeah, there's not a cloud in the sky, literally. It's just spectacular, and the horses are breezing well over the track. Everything looks ready to roll for a great afternoon of sport.
Of course, the feature race here at Gulfstream this afternoon is the Grade 2 Royal Delta for the ladies, the older fillies and mares going to the post in that one. It's race number 4 on this Saturday program, which means our coverage of that race begins at 1:30 Eastern time. Keep that in mind. 1:30 Eastern will kick off our coverage of the Royal Delta. You can tune in on Sirius 93 and on XM channel 202 this afternoon. Of course, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Jude, 84 days, 9 hours, 29 minutes, and 46 seconds away from the first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses, and a couple of Derby preps on the docket for this afternoon and this entire weekend if we look ahead to President's Day and Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic weekend of racing and Derby preps galore, so we have to keep an eye on those. We also have the Kentucky Derby future wager, pool number 2 in action, so you might want to take a peek at that and see if any of the horses that you like are going off at big numbers. Always fun to have a future wager going on Derby Day. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
And as of Monday, you'll be able to go to our website, and you'll be able to see who we feel are the top contenders for the Kentucky Derby with the Ultimate Kentucky Derby Poll presented by Brisnet.com. It makes its debut on our HorseRacingRadio.net website Monday morning. We'll rank all the Derby contenders. We'll give you our top 10 list, not just me and you, but Acacia Courtney, the little A, will be part of that as well. Ed DeRosa from Bris, James Scully. Jenny Reese is the one who's going to head this whole thing up. She, of course, a five-time Eclipse Award winner. She certainly knows her stuff. She's on top of it. She will make sure that she's part of that panel, too. And then just a litany of other expert journalists and handicappers as part of that poll. And, again, it debuts Monday morning.
Yeah, Caden Bradar is going to be on there, and Jeff Siegel from California. So we tried to get people from all different parts of the country to participate because oftentimes, you know, people gravitate to the horses that they see run, and they let the ones that they don't see in person go. So got a wide variety of handicappers, pundits, riders.
Even our radio brethren, Steve Bick.
Steve Bick's going to be on there, yeah. So we got a little something for everybody, and it's going to be great. Jenny Reese, the driving force behind it, of course, she ran a similar poll at the Louisville Courier-Journal for many years, and now we're lucky enough to host it on horseracingradio.net.
All right, well, here's what's coming up on this program this morning. It is a star-studded edition of the Equine Forum and jam-packed with special guests this morning. Yesterday, Jude and I had the opportunity to visit with Todd Pletcher, and you're going to hear that interview after our first commercial break. He talked about his contenders in the stakes races today. He looked ahead to races like the Fountain of Youth Stakes and talked about his contender Zulu in that race and gave you an update as to how he's doing. And then he looked back on Mishawish, or Mshawish, I guess is the proper pronunciation now. He looked back on that win in the Don Handicap last week. So a lot of great stuff from Todd coming up in just a few minutes. Kieran McLaughlin also took the time to visit with Jude and I yesterday and update us on the workout of Mohe Men, who went to the post or went yesterday at Palm Meadows. We'll fill you in on that workout coming up later in the first hour, and you'll hear from Kieran and as he shares his thoughts on what many people feel could be the leading contender for the Kentucky Derby right now. And then a really fun thing at 9 o'clock Eastern, JT, Dale Romans is going to come by. We are set up right next to the winner's circle trackside this morning. Dale's going to come by here at 9 o'clock, and for very good reason.
Yeah, cherry wine's going to breeze, and Dale's going to take us through that with his stopwatch in one hand and a microphone in the other, so you never know what you might hear. So we'll see how that goes, but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that horse work. He's a very, very nice horse. He's on the upswing, and Dale's pretty high on him, so it'll be great to listen to a trainer's thoughts as he watches a horse breeze. We had a similar situation this morning, but the expletives were flying. Someone was definitely unhappy with that workout.
So. Yeah, well, I'm sure Dale is not going to be using any expletives, assuming all goes well with cherry wine. But again, he's going to narrate that work live for you coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern, so stay tuned for that. Cherry wine pointed for the Fountain of Youth on February 27th and one of his major Derby prospects at this point. Graham Motion is going to be here right around 9:25 Eastern time. Looking forward to that visit with Graham, who is going to be very active with his three-year-olds this afternoon. And then trainer Doug O'Neill at the end of the program at 9:45 Eastern time. He'll join us from California as he gets set to send out his champion Nyquist in Monday's San Vicente Stakes at Santa Anita. He will face five other rivals, including Exaggerator, the winner of the Delta Jackpot. So a lot of things to look forward to this morning. We're also going to be joined by Barry Pearl, the president of Jockeys and Jeans, and their charity event to benefit the PDJF coming up at the end of the month. He'll tell you about that event. And a special feature with our good friend Tony Guidici. I call him Tony the Bartender because he is one of the bartenders here at Gulfstream. Really fun guy. I think you're going to enjoy that. We'll tell you what it's like to be a bartender here at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, well, it's a good place to drink, I'll tell you.
It certainly is, and he knows how to make a good drink as well.
Yeah.
We're going to get to our first break. We will come back with more on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside. Three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch. Ginger Punch to win it. Ginger Punch won it.
Nine millionaires, including five multimillionaires.
Game on, dude. Going to write his way into the history books. Game on, dude. And Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Go Zephyr kicking clear. And Go Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million, AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation, just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
This Saturday, the Grade 2 Royal Delta highlights another championship meet card at Gulfstream Park. Be sure to start your day with breakfast at Gulfstream every Saturday morning during the meet. Watch some of racing's top thoroughbreds work out while you enjoy a delicious breakfast buffet. It's fun for the whole family. And remember, on February 20th, the Ladies Only Girls Got Game contest is back by popular demand. And on March 19th and 20th, you can compete in the Live Money Ultimate Betting Challenge. Visit GulfstreamPark.com to learn more.
A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponte will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponte's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponte topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 in 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirolone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponte standing at Castleton Lions.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And it is Gettysburg who's going strong. Gettysburg's got a two-length lead after three quarters in 112 flat. And now off the rail, direct message into second. Happy's Causeway is third. Majesto is fourth. They're into the stretch. And Javier Castellano and Gettysburg have a two-and-a-half length lead. And then comes direct message, who's second as they come down to the last 16th. And they're followed by Happy's Causeway in third. But it will be Gettysburg. Gettysburg coming under the wire to win it by four over direct message. Then Happy's Causeway, Lost Iron ran late, followed by Hint of Roses.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. Mike Penna and Jude Felt. Trackside at Gulfstream Park on a gorgeous morning here in South Florida. Our producer, my beautiful wife, Michelle, and getting set for a very, very busy program here, JT. And it starts with our good friend Todd Pletcher, who was generous enough to spend a little time with us yesterday and talk about all of his Derby contenders and even take a look at Emshuish and that big win last time in the Don.
Yeah, it was a great victory for Emshuish. And, of course, Todd's got a lot of Kentucky Derby contenders running this weekend. So busy week for him, busy weekend for him, but it was nice to be able to shoot the breeze with him for a few minutes yesterday.
Yeah, if indeed they do race at Aqueduct tomorrow. They did cancel today, by the way. That just coming out just a little bit ago. No racing, no live racing at Aqueduct, but you can still go there for the simulcasting, of course. If everything holds together and they do run tomorrow, Todd will have contenders in four stakes races this weekend alone, or four different tracks anyways, more than four stakes races, but he'll have contenders and stakes at four different racetracks this weekend alone. He's going to be a very busy man, and as I mentioned, he did take the time to talk with us yesterday. Well, as has become customary on Saturday afternoons, trainer Todd Pletcher will once again be very busy. And he'll be busy not just at Gulfstream Park, but all over the country, sending out contenders and stakes races at four different racetracks this weekend, including the Grade 2 Royal Delta Stakes, which you'll hear exclusively with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network this afternoon, beginning at 1:30 Eastern Time. And Todd joins us now here on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Todd, thanks for taking a few minutes.
My pleasure, guys.
You know, the question I get most often when people talk about Todd Pletcher and they ask me about you, Todd, is how on earth does he do it? Because you have this success all over the country. You're running horses, it seems like, at four or five different racetracks almost every weekend. So I'm going to ask you, how do you do it?
Well, we work hard at it. You know, we got a big team of people that work very hard at hopefully churning out horses that are ready to run well. And, you know, it's a lot of preparation during the week and months and years leading up to these big races that make it happen. But, you know, right now this winter we have the majority of our horses based at Palm Beach Downs. And I think, you know, when we're able to do that and train over at a facility like that with a surface like Palm Beach Downs has, it's just things seem to be clicking on all cylinders and the horses are running well, you know, off that racetrack. And knock on wood, it's been a very safe racetrack. And, you know, so it's nice kind of having the base of the operation there and then able to ship around to some other locations from there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Palm Beach Downs located pretty close to Palm Meadows, where you were before. What's the difference there, and why is Palm Beach Downs such a good fit for your program?
Well, I think the most significant difference is that it's just a smaller facility, and not so much the oval itself. It has a mile dirt racetrack with a turf course inside of that. But the biggest difference is there's approximately 200 horses on the grounds, and you know, I think the big benefit to that is you get a quiet training environment and you just get less traffic, you know, in general over the racetrack. And I think that you know, allows it to stay in good condition throughout the morning.
With 200 horses on the grounds, most of them must be yours, huh?
There's a good portion of them that are.
So you have somewhat control over you know, how many horses are on the track at one time, and you can kind of set up your breezes accordingly.
Yeah, you know, we generally take in our sets, we usually have 14 or 15 horses per set. So you know, when we're not out there, there's generally not really any other horses on the grounds and or on the racetrack, and so you know, it works out well. And been pleased with the way it's been going.
I always tell people it's almost like going to the races, watching you train horses in the morning. The riders all come out, they get their assignments from you, you've already gone over the horse's legs. I mean, it's like watching six or seven races a day right there at the Pletcher Barn.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think when you have a number of horses like that, and we have horses at various levels, and we're able to get a good line on sort of where we are with the horses, especially when you're able to, you know, match maidens up with horses that you know what their ability levels are, and I think that's very helpful in letting us know kind of where our horses are, how fit they are, maybe how good they are, what level they need to be running at, and I think that's one of the benefits to having a bigger stable. Not only a benefit to us, but hopefully to our owners as well.
Trainer Todd Pletcher joining us on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Todd, let's focus on some of the horses that you're going to be sending out this weekend. And we'll start with the race we're covering this afternoon at Gulfstream Park, the Grade 2 Royal Delta, previously known as the Sabin Stakes. And this is a race that you've had some success in. You've won it three different times, of course, twice with Awesome Maria. And today you send out 2-1 morning line favorite Sandiva and long shot Enchantress. Let's start with Sandiva. Tell me about her coming up to this race.
Well, we're very, very pleased with the way that she's trained on the dirt. We've obviously been very pleased with the way she's run on the turf, but it's sort of similar connections, came over here with good turf form, has run well on the turf, and we've kicked around the idea of trying Sandiva on the dirt for over a year now. And we just felt like that finally maybe everything was in place where he's doing well and race is coming up at the right time and it's not a huge field, and just felt like it was time to give her a try on the dirt. And basically it's just based on the strength of how she trains on it, how she breezes over it, and she's always trained very well, galloped out very strongly and given us an indication that she'll handle it. So we're looking forward to finding out if that's true or not. She's a beautiful filly, and I think kind of her style of running, which is kind of a high cruising speed and keep carrying that speed, should suit the dirt well.
She doesn't have the same dirt pedigree that Emshawish has, but you look at those three bullet works on her past performances, and that kind of tells you she seems to like the dirt a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's by Footsteps in the Sand, who is a Giant's Causeway, and they tend to, Giant's Causeways tend to run on just about any surface, so we're hoping that that's going to carry through with her. It's similar to Emshawish, but like you said, not the strength of the pedigree so much as much just the way that she's trained over it.
Todd, all of those workouts that you referenced have come at your base at Palm Beach Downs. Talk about the form translating, that dirt form translating from the track at Palm Beach Downs to the main track at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, it seems to be a true kind surface that what we found is that, you know, horses that maybe some turf horses that might struggle with some other dirt tracks, like, for example, the deeper Oklahoma surface at Saratoga, they won't have those same issues with the Palm Beach dirt, but they'll find it a little easier to get over, and I think it can be a little kinder to train some turf horses over the dirt there. But at the same time, it's demanding enough that it'll let you know when you have one that doesn't truly like the dirt, or, you know, a turf horse that needs to be on the grass. So I don't think it gives you any false information, but it can be a little bit kinder than some of the real demanding surfaces that we'll train on.
You've also got Enchantress in there, and it's a major step up for her. Was the short field a factor in running her, or did you have this on the radar?
No, I mean, we actually nominated her a couple of weeks ago, but it was really kind of in the last week that the decision came together, just based on kind of assessing the field and how she was coming up and to the race. And we had kind of a backup plan on the 27th. There's a turf stake, so we decided that the other issue, you know, thing to factor in was that how the strength of the turf stake at Tampa Bay with Teppins and Photo Call and those fillies in there, that we pretty much either wanted to stay at Gulfstream and run on the turf or give this a try.
Todd Pletcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Todd, I don't need to remind you that we're only 84 days away from the first Saturday in May, and you always have a host of three-year-olds pointing for the Kentucky Derby. This year, no different. The Grade 3 Sam F. Davis is on tap at Tampa Bay this afternoon. Another race that's been very good to you. You've won it on five different occasions. Today, you send out Gettysburg and Destin in that race. Let's start with Gettysburg and tell me about him.
Well, he's a horse that Windstar was very high on when they sent him to us. And, you know, I think he's just taken a little while to kind of come to hand. Wasn't surprised that he kind of ran mid-division first time out at Belmont. I think that was a very good education for him. We started to see some improvement in his training after that race. And then I thought his third at Gulfstream, first time around two turns, was an encouraging race. I think when you kind of look back at that day, it was one of those days where, for whatever reason, Gulfstream wasn't really producing many front runners that day that were able to hold on. So I think he probably ran against the grain of the track a little bit that day. But we saw a lot of improvement after that race in the way that he breathes. So we weren't surprised that he sort of had that breakthrough effort last time when he was able to win convincingly, and he's come back and trained well. So, you know, we like the fact that he's coming off a mile and eighth race and can back up into a, you know, mile and a 16th race at Tampa, and yeah, we like the way he's been training, so we're very happy with him.
Well, he's made some tremendous improvement. His speed figures have gone forward on the Brisnet scale every time he's run. So it looks like he's coming into this race very strong.
Yeah, he really is. And you know, he's come back and trained very well, put in some quality breezes. And I think you can kind of see some physical improvement in him as well. He's gained some weight. And he's kind of making that transition from two to three that you love to see, you know, physically when these horses start to fill out and grow up a bit.
Well, your other contender in the Sam F. Davis, Destin, exits that fourth-place finish in the Grade 3 LeCompte at Fairgrounds on January 16th. Talk about the past several weeks with him and how he's coming into the Sam F. Davis.
Yeah, him and Gettysburg have actually trained together quite a bit in the last, you know, couple of weeks. And they've kind of taken turns with each other, and seems like one week maybe one will be slightly the stronger of the two, and then the next week it'll flip around. But I think this horse is still figuring things out. We put blinkers on him for his last start, and he still ran like a horse that needed blinkers, even though he had them on. He's just still learning. He can run a little bit in spots at times. I think that John Velasquez is going to suit him very well. I think Johnny's style of riding, where, you know, he can really pick one up and carry him and point him in the right direction when they need it. So I think he's going to be a good fit for this horse. And I think, you know, hopefully he's a horse that the more experience he gets, the better he'll get. He's shown us some hints that he has it there, just trying to bring it all out. And we're going to adjust his blinkers a little bit for this race. And just, we feel like if we can get him channeled with all his energy in the right direction, there's more to come.
Yeah, his mother, Dream of Summer, was a really nice filly. He didn't have the best of trips in LeCompte. He was, you know, kind of wide, and he still ended up finishing well. He looks like he's certainly headed in the right direction. Do you find when you have these horses and you're training them together that it kind of forces them up the ladder, makes them, you know, improve their game a little bit?
Well, that's what we've always felt like, is being able to train some of these horses with some better horses, you know, can sometimes bring out their best and improve them, and we're hoping that's what it does in these horses' cases. But, you know, I think in Dustin's case, it's just, he just needs that race experience and that seasoning that you can only get really with more racing. And he's a typical hardy Giants Causeway, comes out of his races really well and with good energy. And so, you know, hopefully more races from now, he'll continue moving forward.
Todd, a couple of other three-year-olds you send out this weekend are in New York in the Fred Cappy Capicella Stakes. You have Saratoga Mischief and Awesome Gent. Now, obviously, they're not quite as far along in their development as horses like Gettysburg or Destin, because this is a six-furlong race. what are you looking to see from them coming up on Sunday afternoon?
Well, the first thing I'm hoping for is that they have racing with the bitter cold forecast and that they're calling for. But, yeah, I mean, actually, in, you know, both of these horses' cases, these are kind of audibles that we've had to make because of, you know, different circumstances. In Saratoga Mischief's case, we entered him in an allowance race a couple times at Gulfstream that didn't fill. So we're looking to get his season underway. So we shipped up for that. And Awesome Jen's case, we had him scheduled for a New York bred stake on the same day, but unfortunately that didn't fill, so we had to opt over into an open race. But, and I think both of these horses are really nice horses. I think Saratoga Mischief proved that when he was second in the Saratoga Special in his second start, and subsequently the horse that beat him that day, Exaggerators, come back and won the Delta Jackpot, so I think it was legitimate form. Just looking to get a season underway, hopefully get a race under his belt and see, you know, how he runs and what the next step would be. But he's always shown a lot of quality. He's a nice horse, and we're looking forward to getting him started. And Awesome Gents, last two races have been very impressive. Just looking forward to see how he feels, kind of a step up in competition in the open stakes category.
Well, we know you have other things to get to here today, Todd, so we'll let you do that, but can't let you go without getting a quick update on Zulu, who Jude and I have fallen in love with, pointed for the Fountain of Youth, the son of Bernardini, and, of course, a few comments on Mshuish with that big win in the Don last week. Start with Zulu for a moment. How's he doing?
Zulu's doing great. He'll briefly get on Sunday, and you know, right now he's got the tall task of pointing towards the Fountain of Youth and meeting Karen and Shadwell's horse, Mohaman, who's very, very impressive in the Holy Bull. But, you know, we feel like with a promising colt that's super two at Gulfstream, pedigree that suggests he's supposed to stretch out, that, you know, we're going to try to tackle that assignment and hope that he can continue to improve. So we're happy with him, happy with what he's done so far, and look forward to stepping up the next level. But, yeah, we're excited about that.
Mshuish, he's always trained so well on the dirt, and I couldn't wait for you to run him on the dirt, and now he's grade one winner. Did he come out of the race good, and is he still heading to Dubai?
Yeah, no, Mshuish, we were delighted with the way he ran in the Don, and he came out of it in super shape. He's full of himself, good energy, and we're knock on wood, hopefully heading towards Dubai.
Todd Pletcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Total Pro. And, Ty, we can't thank you enough for the time, as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again here up the road, and all the best coming up this weekend.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Todd Pletcher with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. JT, just some amazing things there from Todd. He was very, very forthcoming with all of his horses coming up this weekend, and then looking ahead to the Fountain of Youth with a horse like Zulu, who is highly regarded. He'll make his stakes debut in that spot. Won't be an easy spot, though. How good is that race going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be a very tough race, and for Zulu, a little added wrinkle is the two turns. He's never gone two turns before, so he's got a big task ahead of him, but he's possibly quite up to it. He's a very talented horse. He has a beautiful way of going, and we'll see how he develops as Todd gets him ready to go to the Kentucky Derby, hopefully.
Yeah, and he will square off with Mohaman from the barn of Kieran McLaughlin, as you just heard Todd reference, and Cherry Wine as well, who is Dale Roman's, well, not his main hope, I don't think, but one of his main hopes to get to the Kentucky Derby. He's a major player. He is going to work this morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and Dale is going to be here with us live on the Equine Forum to narrate that work. He'll take you through every single step. We've never done this before. It's a first here on the radio, but it should be a lot of fun to have Dale aboard and let him walk you through that work by Cherry Wine.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's always great you know, to hear what the trainer has to say, and especially live and in color.
We also mentioned that Mohaman worked yesterday at Palm Meadows for Kieran, 47 3/5 for the 4 furlongs, and Kieran did take some time to talk with us yesterday about that work. He'll share his thoughts later in this first hour as well. So it's a very busy program still to come. In addition to Dale and Kieran, you're going to hear from Graham Motion. You're going to hear from Doug O'Neill talking about his champion Nyquist. You're going to hear from Barry Pearl, the president of Jockeys and Jeans, and their charity event coming up at the end of the month to benefit the PDJF. And in just a few minutes after our next break, you're going to hear from Tony the bartender. You won't want to miss it. Going to be a lot of fun. We're back with more right after this on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
Game on new. Twirling Candy to the outside. They are falling down. Final 16. Joined by First Dude to the outside. Game on new. First Dude. Twirling Candy. Game on new. And First Dude.
Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Cup winner First Dude earned $1.4 million while defeating many of the top horses of his generation and placing in most of America's best three-year-old races. Trainer Dale Romans is effusive in his praise for the Double Diamond Farm star.
First Dude was a fabulous racehorse. He was a freight train full of power and all class. From the day he came into the barn, we knew he was going to be one of our best ones.
Transferring his class to the breeding shed, First Dude's progeny earned over $1 million in 6 months, propelling him to the top spot among Florida's freshman sires.
Here comes Floradora trying to run down Skatoosh. Skatoosh trying to get there, but Floradora with the momentum up to do it.
Class on the racetrack, success in the breeding shed, and a value price $7,500 stud fee. First Dude. Visit DoubleDiamondFarm.com.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile, Derek Dobbin, has won the Santa Anita Derby.
Gainesway stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse champion, and six-time Grade 1 winner, Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussaud.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great Pioneer of the Niles debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Sandiva, the leader, on top just by a neck now. Divine Aida second. Quiet Kittens given way. Hope Cross gets going. Toot to Paisis on the far outside. Strike Charmer is in behind. Horses a little bit sassy. And Partisan Politics, they're into the stretch. Sandiva has a two-length lead as they come into the final furlong. A little bit sassy runs up on the outside. Hope Cross, Partisan Politics, and Toot to Paisis all trying to come and get Sandiva late. Sandiva and Javier Castellano are going to hold on to win the Marchewa's River. A little bit sassy with second, and then Toot to Paisis, followed by Hope Cross and Partisan Politics.
Larry Coleman is bringing them home in the Marchewa's River Stakes. Earlier this meet here at Gulfstream Park, Sandiva, the winner that afternoon. She is the likely favorite in this afternoon's Grade 2 Royal Delta, which has a post time of 2 o'clock Eastern Time. That means we will bring you that exclusive coverage beginning at 1:30 Eastern this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can tune in Sirius 93, XM 202, and as always, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. I want to remind you that the Ultimate Kentucky Derby Poll, presented by Brisnet.com, is coming to our HRRN website starting on Monday, February 15th. That's this coming Monday. Every single week, five-time Eclipse Award-winning journalist Jenny Reese and our panel of professional handicappers will rank their top Derby contenders. We'll kick it off with a top 10 list coming up this Monday morning. You can check it out at horseracingradio.net. It is the Ultimate Kentucky Derby Poll, presented by Brisnet.com.
Yeah, really looking forward to participating in that poll, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a great cross-section of people that are participating. Jenny Reese, the driving force behind it, and it's going to be great. So check it out Monday.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, trackside next to the winner circle at Gulfstream Park. Where else would we be?
Yeah.
In the winner circle.
Where we like to be.
Well, either that or at the bar at 10 Palms on the second floor. And when you do that, you're going to run into our friend Tony Guidici, and I like to call him Tony the Bartender, and if you can't tell, he's a Paisan. He's Italian. That's a good thing, and he joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Tony, welcome to the program, my friend.
How you doing, Mike?
We're doing great. Happy to have you on board and looking forward to hearing what it's like to be a bartender at Gulfstream Park. What's it like?
Well, it's a very happy environment, especially if they're winning. But you make it fun. You know, you don't make it work when I'm working. You know, you talk to the people, you hang out, you get their thoughts, you show interest in the game, and make them comfortable. Give them nice food, give them drinks. The environment at Gulfstream is such a winning environment. I've been there almost 10 years, and it's a fun place. It really is. And meeting all the people like you guys and other people that come in and new fans in horse racing also. It's great.
You know, Tony, you always have a smile on your face, which is great. You know, some places you go, the bartenders are sullen, they're not having a good time. But when you walk in there, whenever you see somebody, you smile at them, you're right there with a cocktail napkin ready to take their order. It's just always a pleasure to see you. And I think you've got your circle of fans.
That's nice to hear. And that's part of hospitality, being cordial to the guests. You know, people are coming there gambling. They may be losing. They may not be happy. So you got to try to ease the pain a little bit. That's what I look at. They can feel comfortable and wanted, like it's their room.
Well, Tony, you referenced the people that you get to meet a couple of times already. Tell me about some of the more interesting people you've had the chance to meet over the years here at Gulfstream Park.
Well, over the years, I've met some celebrities, sports celebrities, actors, comedians, a lot of horsemen, obviously, trainers, owners. Just fun people, and it's just, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to put a finger on. I mean, Eddie Olczyk, who does MSNBC Sports, is a horse owner, real nice. The Todd Pletches, some other trainers, guys, Todd was on the show before. The Brooklyn Boy Stables from Brooklyn, my hometown, you know, all those guys have got some nice horses. Greenpoint Crusader, who ran in the Holy Bull, and he chased McLaughlin's horse. But, you know, it's just a fun place. It really is. I just like going there. I'm happy.
So do bartenders get good tips when these guys come
Excuse
around?
You?
Or do you get good tips on the horses? Or do you have to fend for yourself handicapping?
Everybody has a tip on a horse. The only you know, the owner's not going to tell you my horse don't look good today. He's not going to run. They all want to win, you know. So, you know, everybody's got a tip, you know.
Yeah, everybody always thinks their horse is going to win, and as we know, it doesn't always happen.
I think the same thing. My horse is going to kill him today.
Visiting with Tony Guidici. I call him Tony the Bartender. You can catch him here on the second level of Gulfstream Park at 10 Palms. He'll be there and more than likely surrounded by horsemen and fans and gamblers, because that's what we do here at Gulfstream Park. And as you said, Tony, it's a great environment and so many great people that you have the opportunity to meet day in and day out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I just enjoy it. I'm actually on my way down there right now. I'll be heading down to the track. Today is a big day, you know, on Saturday.
Have you always been a horse racing fan, Tony? Have you always been involved in the sport in some way, like a fan and going to the races in New York?
My favorite jockey at the time was Braulio Baeza, who I had the opportunity to meet about 2 weeks ago. And I actually saw our secretariat win the Belmont in 1973 at Belmont, naturally, Big Red. So I've been a horse racing fan all over the years. It's a fun thing, you know.
Well, we got to bump into Braulio yesterday at Hialeah, and
excuse me?
He was one of the all-time great riders. Nobody looked better on a horse than Braulio Baeza.
I couldn't understand you.
Yeah, well, he was telling Tony we got a chance to bump into Braulio when we were over at Hialeah yesterday, and as Jude said, one of the all-time great riders the sport's ever seen.
Was, yeah. I believe he's a steward there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he works over there, and it was nice to catch up with him for a few minutes. Tony, we're going to look forward to seeing you up on the second floor, maybe later this afternoon.
Napkins. And I'll fill up the glasses, and we'll go from there.
And we will be there, my friend.
So let me come on the air. I appreciate that.
You got it. We'll talk to you here soon.
Thank you.
All right, Tony Guidici, Tony the Bartender, here at Gulfstream. Always a lot of fun to kind of, you know, shed the light on other things that people do around the racetrack. Obviously, a bartender is a very common profession at a racetrack, but he's one of the best.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And, you know, Gulfstream's such a fun place. You come in here and they say, you know, welcome to your playground. And it really is. It's a lot of fun. There's so many things to do. And pretty much 24 hours a day, there's always some action going on here. So come on out and have a good time. Beautiful day for it today.
And again, we are here with you this afternoon as well. 1:30 Eastern is when we kick off our exclusive coverage of the Grade 2 Royal Delta. That's on Sirius 93 XM Channel 202. Want to remind you that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies of AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. And as the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. If you want to learn more, simply visit lanesend.com. We're going to step away for another short break. When we come back, you'll hear from trainer Kieran McLaughlin as he tells you all about Mohe Men's work yesterday at Palm Meadows. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's Freaky Fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick 4. You hear him on HRRN Radio. Now get his personal selections directly from him at his new site, PopeJude.com. Every analysis sheet at PopeJude.com has his personal selections and insights. Each page is a handicapping lesson packed with years of racing knowledge, coupled with insider information gleaned from the pontiff's countless connections in thoroughbred racing. Whether you're looking for another set of eyes on the past performances or inspired racing analysis to assault the windows, PopeJude.com is the site for you.
The ExpressBet Weekend Stakes Preview Show with Anthony Stabile and Ellis Starr, picking winners.
And I'm going to then play a trifecta box of Made from Lucky, Mishawish, Ballad, and Mexicoma.
And it is Mishawish coming to the wire, the winner of the Don Handicap. Ballad was second, Mexicoma was third.
The ExpressBet Weekend Stakes Preview Show, Fridays 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 220 and XM 206, and streaming live on horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Around the far turn, Mo Heyman continues to lead the way under a hand ride here. He's in front by 3/4 of a length. Edging away at will, Junior Alvarado just took a peek back, and he's getting away now from Greenpoint Crusader. The lead is up to 2.5 lengths, and then it's Fellowship and Conquest Big E, and now Mo Heyman just takes off. Mo Heyman absolutely dazzling in the Holy Bull as he remains undefeated. Greenpoint Crusader was second, and then Fellowship and Conquest Big E in a final time of 1 minute 42.07 seconds.
Mo Heyman could not have been any more impressive in winning the Holy Bull a couple of weeks ago here at Gulfstream. We'll see him in action in the Fountain of Youth Stakes on February 27th, which is shaping up to be just an unbelievable Kentucky Derby prep race. Of course, Mo Heyman worked yesterday at Palm Meadows. He went 47 3/5 seconds. That's a time for 4 furlongs for trainer Kieran McLaughlin, and you're going to hear from Kieran momentarily as he took the time to visit with Jude and I yesterday to talk about that work. Don't forget, this weekend is all about love. Are you scrambling to make this Valentine's Day memorable for that special someone? Well, don't stress. Use your Verizon smartphone or tablet to make this Valentine's Day the best ever. Use the 1-800-Flowers app to send flowers. And if you're really looking to wow that special someone with the perfect meal, get the Yelp app. You can do it all at Verizon.com. Well, Pontiff, I mentioned that big effort, that big work yesterday from Mo Heyman, and we were fortunate enough to be joined by Kieran, and he started by sharing his thoughts on that work.
Well, Mike, it was funny. I asked Miguel to go a little slower because we know he's fast. We know he can run. I just wanted, you know, maintenance work, trying to, you know, keep the weight on him, and trying going 49. So he went off like in 12 and 4, and then he picked it up, finished really strong. And he thought he went in 49, and I said, well, that's great, 47 and 4, that's fine. He did it the right way. He's just a nice horse, and he worked well, and wasn't blown out of match when he came back. So everything is great.
What's the goal with Mo Heyman at this point following a huge win in the Holy Bull?
Well, we'll work him one more time next Friday. And then he's to run in the Fountain of Youth. And then 5 weeks later, the Florida Derby, most likely. And 5 weeks later, the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, I like the program in Florida being at 4 weeks and then 5 weeks and then 5 weeks. So we hope that we stay on that schedule and all is well.
He's not a real big horse. Does that present a different set of challenges for you as you have the, you know, your schedule mapped out?
You know, he's not a big horse. He doesn't carry any extra weight, but he's real beautiful colt, moves great, and I think he's actually putting on a little weight since the Holy Bull. It was like a workout for him, so he is doing really well. And I love the spaces, the time of the races. So hopefully we don't have to adjust at all because of weather or other issues. But I like the program, and I like, you know, where we're going and how he's doing. So we're very happy.
Kieran, you mentioned the Holy Bull being just a workout for him, and it was a very easy victory for Mo Heyman that afternoon. Share your thoughts on that race. Was it as visually impressive as it looked to us from your vantage point?
Yes, it was. I mean, I was obviously thinking that we were going to be on the lead if he broke well, because there wasn't much pace in the race. And when he didn't break so sharp, I was a little nervous into the first turn and out of the first turn because he was in between and behind. And Johnny Velasquez was just outside of us, and he's a heady rider and a cagey rider, and you just didn't know if he was going to try and make it tight on us. But then down the backside, once he decided to go on between the horses, I was very happy and obviously impressed when he did it so easily and turned for home and drew off. And I had asked him not to give him a hard race if he didn't have to. I didn't want, you know, whipping and driving to win impressively by 8 lengths. If you can win, just win and try not to give him a hard race. So it was not a hard race, and it was very impressive. It was a wow race.
So after his breeze this morning, you said you're going to work him one more time next week. What do you have in mind? Is it going to be a long work or another short, easy one? What's your thought process there?
Yeah, half mile and 48 is what we're looking for next week. Just a maintenance work. He's fit now, and we're just trying to keep him, you know, happy and maintenance works. That's it.
Kieran McLaughlin here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kieran, as always, appreciate the time and all the best with Mo Heyman. We'll come up and see him in person here before too long.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Jude, you had to love the fact that he said he's fit. We're just trying to kind of keep him happy at this point, because I know you love that philosophy.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing. If they're fit and they're happy, you're going to get some productive races out of them. And certainly, Mo Heyman is a horse that continues to do well. I mean, sparkling races, fantastic little horse. I mean, he's such a little guy. He's not the kind of horse you would think would be a big, imposing type horse and powerful victories, but his victories are powerful, but it's in a small package, kind of like Mrs. Penna.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. You know, it's funny because you hear Kieran talk about how he said, okay, well, we'd like to get like around 49 for the time, and he goes, what, 47-3. He didn't sound concerned about that, but as a trainer, do you get concerned over, you know, say a second and a half difference in what you're looking for?
It kind of depends on the second and a half, you know, but I always feel like trainers secretly like quick works. They tell everybody they want to go slow, but when the horse pops off like that and works easily and it's a fast time, trainers really inside, I think they love it. They may, you know, kvetch to the exercise rider that they went too fast or whatever, but it's a sign that the horse is doing well, you know, and if the rider thought they were going that easy and ends up with a time like that, I mean, I think that's a great sign.
Yeah, Kieran said he wouldn't have blown out a candle when he came back, so he was doing extremely well.
And then my follow-up question, you know, what are you going to do with him next time? He upped it to 48.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we just want a maintenance work, but 48. So now he's looking, you know, he knows the horse isn't going to work totally slow the next time he works, if all things being equal. So he moved from 49 and changed to 48.
Well, we're going to see Mo Heyman in the Fountain of Youth Stakes, as we mentioned. That is on February 27th. It's a race you're going to hear exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series, which comes your way every Saturday afternoon all the way through the Florida Derby on April 2nd, and Saturdays at Gulfstream, all presented by First Dude, Florida's leading freshman sire, who stands at Double Diamond. And our thanks to them for helping out with that coverage, and looking forward to bringing it your way here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Very busy second hour forthcoming, including Dale Romans, who is going to stop by live in just a couple of moments. He will be here to narrate Cherry Wine's work live on the radio. Never been done before, so unprecedented. That should be a lot of fun. Also going to be joined in a couple minutes by Barry Pearl, who is the president of Jockeys and Jeans and their charity event, which takes place here at Gulfstream Park on February 28th. HRN, a proud sponsor of that event, and it all benefits the PDJF. Graham Motion's going to be with us right around 9:25 Eastern time, and of course Doug O'Neill at 9:45 Eastern to talk about his champion Nyquist, who begins his campaign in the San Vicente Stakes on Monday. We'll step away for a quick break. We'll come back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of a star-studded five-star edition of the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and the Pontiff, that's Mike Penna and Jude Feld, positioned just above the winner's circle, looking straight at the finish line here at Gulfstream Park, which is where they will contest the Grade II Royal Delta Stakes this afternoon. You'll hear that race exclusively with us on the network beginning at 1:30 Eastern time. All that coverage presented by First Dude, Florida's leading freshman sire, standing at Double Diamond in Ocala. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast of this program and all of our shows available for you at horseracingradio.net. And what a fun hour it was. Todd Pletcher taking the time to visit with us in that first hour, and Tony the bartender with us as well to talk about what it's like being a bartender at a track like Gulfstream. We heard from Kieran on Mo Heyman's work, and the second hour also jam-packed.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great guests coming up and looking forward to it. Can't wait to see Cherry Wine work as well.
Yeah, Dale will be here to narrate that live for you in just a few moments as soon as he gets Cherry Wine saddled up. Tammy Fox, his longtime partner, is going to be aboard for the workout this morning and looking forward to visiting with Dale. But Barry Pearl is here with us now, as promised. He is the president of Jockeys and Jeans. Their charity event is coming up on Sunday, February 28th, right here at Gulfstream Park. And all the proceeds are going to benefit the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, which is the official charity of HRRN. And Barry, great work. I know this has been a passion of yours for the past several years, and you've really put together a five-star event again this year.
Thank you, Mike. I tell you, we are knee-deep in this thing, and we are working diligently and very hard to make sure that this is the best event we've ever had. And we have a great partner with Gulfstream, by the way, and we appreciate HRRN and our other, what we call our major partners. These are really, really folks who think a lot about the game and the jockeys and really look at how they can help, and we appreciate it. Everything in HRRN, and of course, the Pollock Report helps us too. They we have there one of our major partners. So it's going to be a great event. We certainly hope the horse racing community here around Gulfstream can come out for this, because it'll be star-studded. I mean, literally star-studded.
Okay. People hear the term jockeys and jeans. Is it a bunch of jockeys just walking around in jeans? I mean, what is it? What is this charity event?
Well, what happened was this thing started out as a casual get-together. Five ex-riders. I got a call from a good friend of mine, Eddie Donnelly, and Mike Maganello a number of years ago. And I was out of the game for many years. Had no interest. And they wanted to get together out in Tampa, just have a reunion. And that kind of morphed into this charity event. They said, well, we're going out there. We can do something good. We can get some people to come out. Let's have a charity event. And so they brought me in. We had the first event at Tampa Bay Downs. We did 23,000 in 6 weeks, which
nice.
Was significant. But last year we did 205,000.
That's a little more significant.
A little bit more at Indiana Grand. It was a big deal. And this year we have done something completely, completely different with the help of a lot of our partners. We are going to be selling, with the help of Fazzy Tipton, Stallion Seasons. They were donated by such notable farms as Ocala Stud, Adina Springs, Hartley D. Renzo, Double Diamond, one of your folks.
Sure.
Lane's End, Castleton Lions, and the list goes on and on. We've had an outpouring from Kentucky and Ocala that is unprecedented. We could do literally over 150,000 just in Stallion Seasons.
Wow, how cool is that? And, of course, all that money going to benefit the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund.
Yeah, well, it's such a vital cause and something so important to our business. We had dinner with Rajiv Mirage this week, and you know, when you're sitting there with Rajiv and you hear all the things that he's had to go through to get back to the sport that he loves, you realize that some of the people that get injured are never going to be able to get back, and it's such a great cause that you're supporting and at the forefront, really. And thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and it's our pleasure. It kind of it brought us back into the fold to give back to the game that was good to us. You know, myself, I had a nice career. I got out early, but it was a good move for me, and I wanted to give back to this business. That to me was very important. And I looked at folks that I knew from back in the day. I mean, I rode in the 60s and in the early 70s. And one fellow who is one of our ambassadors, who we would love to be here, but unfortunately cannot, traveling is a little bit of a problem for us, Ronnie Turcotte. And Ron, I spoke to him, as a matter of fact, yesterday, and we had a nice conversation. He would just love to be here, but unfortunately it's a long way from Canada, and he has to drive, and it's a little bit too much for him.
Okay, so how can people attend? First of all, what time does it start on Sunday, February 28th? What time does it start, and then how can people attend? What do they have to do?
Well, doors open at noon at the Sport of Kings Theater. That's a beautiful venue, by the way. That's really amazing place.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I mean, super, super. That's where they held the Eclipse Awards. And the tickets can be purchased by calling 954-457-6201. Thursday through Saturday. Now, you can also get them online at gulfstream.com/tickets. And if you have any trouble or you need to get tickets and you say, gee, I just can't let you, call me. Just call Barry Pearl at 717-503-0182, and I'll help you get tickets.
All right, Barry Pearl, Jockeys and Jeans. We're going to continue this visit here with Barry in just a moment. But our good friend Dale Romans, as promised, has made his way up here to the broadcast position. And, Dale, for good reason.
Yes, we are here to watch Cherry Wine Breeze prepping for the Fountain of Youth.
Is he on the track right now?
He's supposed to be. Let's see if we can find him.
I told you this was going to be good.
Yeah, you all got me running over here. I'm going to be more tired than him.
Well, that's good. You don't have to run.
Yeah.
How far is he going today?
5/8. And I got my clocker, Terry Finley, from West Point Thoroughbred, standing next to me. He's going to clock him for us.
I see him.
Where is he? Where's the horse?
No, I see Terry.
All right. Were you backing up, Dale, or what were
you
doing?
Yeah, he was backing up. Looked for a gray colt with a little bitty rider.
That wouldn't be me anymore, would it?
No. Tammy Fox in the saddle for Dale.
Is that him over there just going around the turn right by the tent there?
That might be.
Yeah, you have to understand, we're looking directly into the sun, so trying to see the horses that are on the backside a little bit challenging here. But
I think he's going to maybe the 6.5 pole right now.
I was going to talk about the sun, but I thought we had audience members in the cold northeast that didn't want to hear about it.
Yeah, we brought that up at the beginning of the show. Yeah. We can't complain about the weather here in Florida.
A lot of people probably turned off their radio.
We've all been moaning and whining about our 50 degrees. They're up there freezing to death.
So 5 furlongs today. What are we looking for, Dale?
You know, she's just going to sit on him today and go nice and easy. He's plenty fit. Is that her, Terry, straight across?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
It's a gray horse with a little tiny rider.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. I don't see very many grays on the backstretch right now, so it looks like that may be him.
He's a handful.
We need sunscreen to do this job.
One thing that I wanted
and
to mention.
And away he goes.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
You got him? I got a high-paid clocker here. All right, he's starting his first eighth, hitting a half-mile pole. Now, everybody knows on the turns they should switch to their left lead. It looks like he did that pretty easy. Give us an eighth, Terry. And now she hits the 3/8 pole, just sitting still. You know, this horse has been – there's different ways you want to work horses depending on what you're doing with them. And this is a very fit, athletic horse that's coming off of a tough race. Going into a tough race, so we're just looking for nicely easy maintenance work. My clocker's not giving me any feedback.
Typical of a clocker.
Yeah, where are we, Terry? He wants to fix the work. You're not going to be able to bet on this one. Hits the 8th pole. She should smooch to him here when he gets to the black and white 16th pole a little bit and let him finish up good. He's striding out nice. You see how he has no wasted motion. He throws those feet right in front of him. Now the gallop out. She's still riding a little bit. We work most of our horses. Like he went from the half-mile pole to the mile pole, which we don't stop at the wire. I like for him to run underneath the wire and know to just keep on going and finish. And so that was a nice work. Now he's on his gallop out. He switched to his left lead again on the turn. People don't know. The horse is going full speed, has one leg on the ground at a time. And so they're putting like 10,000 pounds of pressure on one leg every stride.
He's a great mover.
Yes, he is a good mover. That's what keeps him sound. He's so efficient. 101 and 1, my clocker says.
Out
in 3/4 of a mile in 114. Which should make him a winner.
There you go.
You heard it here, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Get me to a window, will you, please?
Yeah, exactly. When they open the betting for this race. The problem is everybody in the race is going to feel the same way.
Well, you know, he's 50-1 on the morning line in the future pool, so now's the time. Get down now and avoid the rush.
Exactly.
Yeah, he looked great. I mean, he really strides out beautifully, Dale.
That's the thing about him. He's just such an efficient, easy mover. He's easy on himself. And that's what keeps a horse around, keeps a horse good and sound. And, you know, it's anything that happens. You get to this level, everybody does like their horse. They're all good horses. And it's when they start separating themselves. That's what makes the Derby so great. All the horses are winning all over the region. They come together to run against each other for the first time, usually a lot of them on Derby Day. And we find out who the best of the whole country is.
So he'll come back and work one more time before the race next week?
Next week, yep. He'll have an easy breeze again next week.
5 furlongs?
Yeah, most likely. Most likely. We'll kind of play it by ear. You know, assuming he comes out of his, holds his weight good, he's eating good, we'll go another easy 5/8.
Give us a quick update on Brody's cause.
Brody's going to work tomorrow. He, hold on, there goes another one of our fillies, Lavender Chrissy, that's coming off of a $300,000 stake win at the end of last year. Getting ready to make her debut pretty soon. I got to act like I'm paying attention because her owner's next to me. Right? Otherwise, he won't want to pay me for today's work.
He didn't have the watch out for his horse.
Terry needs a microphone. Terry needs a microphone. He's been taking a lot of abuse.
I love it. I love Terry not having a microphone. You know, Terry Finley runs West Point Thoroughbred. He's been my friend since he came into the business. And I told him if I'd known he was going to be successful and have 80 horses trained, I'd have been a lot nicer to him when we first met. All right, fellas, thanks for having me. I'll go back and check him out.
Dale, we appreciate it.
It's always
Thank
fun.
You.
Yeah, that's another
I
piece
love the
of...
first dude hats you all are sporting
today.
Yeah,
we brought you some first
there
dude
There you go,
swag.
First dude memorabilia.
There you go.
What a great horse he was.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, Dale Romans. here on HRRN. How much fun was that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Another first on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And he's right. Terry Finley, very high-paid clocker.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention something, if I may, that Dale is one of our honorary committee members for Jockeys in Jeans.
Oh, awesome. Oh,
nice.
He has a seat on our committee, along with Karen Richard Poblis and a number of other folks. And so we really appreciate Dale's participation.
Yeah, that's great that he had Terry up here to clock for him, too.
Yeah. Very neat.
You don't see that every day.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's great. Barry Pearl is still with us here, of course, the president of Jockeys and Jeans. And we were telling you about the charity event coming up here at Gulfstream Park, which Radio Network is a very proud sponsor, happy to help promote it and get the word out any way that we can, because all the proceeds from Jockeys and Jeans going to benefit the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. And we're not talking about a portion of the proceeds. We're talking about every single penny that's made at this Jockeys and Jeans event going back to disabled riders. And what a great cause.
Yeah, we keep nothing. Nobody gets any compensation as far as for doing this, and we try to give back 99 9/10% back to the PDGF. So all funds go back to them, and they distribute as they see necessary.
I am emceeing the event.
Yes,
and
you are.
As part of that, Barry, I have the privilege of hosting a discussion panel for everybody that's going to be in attendance with 15 Hall of Fame riders. And this, for me, I've started working on questions and thoughts and how I want to approach some of the interviews with these riders, because this is such a thrill for me to be able to sit down and talk with the likes of Chris McCarron and Pat Day and Lafitte and all of the great riders who are going to be there. It's going to be spectacular.
We have some people that are just legends. Manny Yakaza, John Rotz, Bill Bolin, Don Pierce from California's coming, Walter Blum, obviously. And we just have an all. This is the best.
Randy Romero.
We got Randy Romero to come out, and he was absolutely thrilled. He said, "No matter how it is, I'm going to be there." And so we're going to we have him as an honored guest, along with our handicap riders and our Hall of Famers. And Randy's a great guy. I talked to him the other day. He's ready to go. So we're going to have quite. This is probably more Hall of Famers in any one place ever.
You know, most of those guys look like they could still hop on a horse and ride today.
Not Don Pierce, probably.
Don looks pretty good.
Does he? Last time I saw him, I offered to save my old pants for him.
Well, I tell you, you look at a guy like McCarron, and we know he had the jockey school, right? We know that he's fit, and he could hop on a horse today. Pat Day, but does he look amazing, right?
Pat looks great. Most of these guys, besides myself, look wonderful. I mean, they really keep themselves in good shape. I've slipped a little bit over the last 30 years, but, you know, what am I going to tell you? I enjoy life.
30 years without a hot box will do that to you, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true. I don't miss those days at all, but, it's fun. We're down here in Florida, South Florida, 7 months of the year. Then go back to Philadelphia area. So it's a pretty good life. Can't complain.
And this is going to be an annual event.
This is going to be an annual event, and we will be making our announcement at the event for 2017. We got a pretty cool place to go. We have 3 years already set up, booked, and we have more tracks all the time asking us about it and getting information on how they can become Jockeys and Jeans hosts.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic, too, that it travels around and people get to meet these people in all different areas of the country. I think that's really important.
Well, that was our goal from the beginning, when we decided to go on with this thing, that we wanted to go to not only the large venues like Gulfstream here, but the small venues. Because in all reality, the smaller tracks, the Indiana Grands, the Canterbury Downs, those type of tracks, great little racetracks, great places, they don't get to see these guys ever. So we can bring 13 to 15 Hall of Famers here. It's a big, big deal for them.
Absolutely.
And they really appreciate it.
Yeah, and you have to be thrilled at the response you've gotten from the riders and from the racing community and all the support that you're getting everywhere that you go. Quick question. You mentioned all the stallion seasons and the farms that were donating those seasons. Can people bid on those if they're not here, or do they have to be here in order to bid?
No, that's a very good question. There will be online bidding through Star Equine. We're going to have that all set up. And we're coming out with – we've had some great great help from the racing publications, Blood Horse, Florida Horse. They are running ads for us to promote this particular thing. And, of course, Ocala Breeder Sales Company is promoting it. And so, yeah, people will be able to get information all over the place. And, again, if you want to donate a stallion season, please feel to call me, Barry Pearl, at 717-503-0182. Or you need information, I'll be glad to get it for
you.
Yeah,
and, of course, you can contact Barry through the website, jockeysandjeans.com. So make sure you check that out.
That's right.
Come on out to the fundraiser if you're in the area. If not, make sure you're bidding online. All the money, 100%, going to the official charity of HRRN, which is the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. If you want to learn more about PDJF, you can log on to their website, pdjf.org. Barry, keep up the wonderful work, and we couldn't be more proud to partner with you. One more time for people that want to get tickets to the event, how do they do it?
Okay, you can get it a couple ways. You can call 954-457-6201 Thursday through Saturday, and they will take care of you as far as ticket goes. Or you can go to www.gulfstream.com/tickets. Or if you, those two don't work, call me at 717-503-0182. Or go to our website, Jockeys and Jeans.
Thanks, my friend. Thanks for letting us be involved, and keep up the wonderful work.
Thank you, Mike and Jude. Appreciate your help, guys, and look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, and Barry Pearl, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. It's as classy and alluring as the game itself. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. And it is time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Nyquist begins his 2016 campaign in the San Vicente. Nyquist's first step onto the Triple Crown Trail comes February 15th at Santa Anita Park, where he'll look to keep his undefeated record intact against five other sophomore males in the $200,000 Grade 2 San Vicente Stakes. Redham Racing's champion 2-year-old male of 2015 went 5-4-5 last year, including two-turn scores in the Grade 1 Front Runner and, of course, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But trainer Doug O'Neill preferred to run Nyquist in the 7-furlong San Vicente for his 3-year-old debut and a prep for his likely next start in the Florida Derby. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, simply head over to BloodHorse.com and make sure you're checking out Blood Horse Daily. Well, a very busy Equine Forum show continues next with trainer Graham Motion. Doug O'Neill going to talk about Nyquist with us right around 9:45 Eastern. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile, Garrick Gomez, has won the Santa Anita Derby.
Gainesway stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including 2-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse champion, and 6-time Grade 1 winner, Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker, boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussaud.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by 2-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile, Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Indy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away to win the Holy Bowl.
But a very stylish performance from Terrace.
Kobe's back is back. Wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
Bring the family and come visit Santa Anita over the three-day weekend. We've got top turf horses today in the Grade 2 Arcadia Stakes, and we'll also have fillies and mares in the Grade 2 Santa Maria. The highlight of the weekend could come on Monday, President's Day, as the undefeated Eclipse champion Nyquist is set to make his three-year-old debut in the Grade 2 San Vicente at 7 furlongs. Monday is also Dollar Day with $1 beers, hot dogs, and sodas. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of six of his first seven starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano!
And the Haskell, by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition!
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
She's all Songbird by herself to win by 8.
M. Shawish coming to the wire, the winner of the Don Handicap.
Juvenile Phillies champion Songbird and leading older horse M. Shawish topped a huge weekend on both coasts for Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro. Songbird dominated the Grade 2 Las Virginas in her three-year-old debut at Santa Anita, and M. Shawish was a game winner of the Grade 1 Don Handicap at Gulfstream Park. Their dazzling victories make Songbird and M. Shawish your Darley Taking the Reins Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro, America's leading sire of stakes winners in 2015, is off to a strong start again in 2016, thanks to the greatest stakes-winning performances of champion Songbird and the Todd Pletcher-trained M. Shawish. Medaglia d'Oro was the sire of 29 stakes winners in 2015, including Grade 1 Golden Slipper winner Vancouver, Eclipse champion Juvenile Philly Songbird, and Gold Medal Dancer, winner of the Grade 2 Azari. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming toward the top of the stretch, and it's Best Behavior, Dogwood Trail, and Stone-tastic right behind them. Going to swing to the outside. Let's see if she can come off the pace here. They're into the stretch, a 45-flat half mile. Best Behavior, Stone-tastic's running at her. Best Behavior, Stone-tastic on the outside trying to get by. And then it's Dogwood Trail, you bought her on the outside. Stone-tastic's coming up empty, and it's Best Behavior. Best Behavior will win the Sugar Swirl, a photo between Stone-tastic and you butter, and then it was Dogwood Trail and Miss Melinda.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 3 Sugar Swirl right here at Gulfstream Park back on December 26th. Best Behavior, an easy winner that afternoon for trainer Marty Wolfson. She returns in this afternoon's Grade 2 Royal Delta. You'll hear that race exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coverage begins this afternoon, 1:30 Eastern. Make sure you join us on Sirius 93 XM Channel 202. And streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, we are back with you trackside on a gorgeous day at Gulfstream Park. It's going to be a firm turf and a fast main track for the running of the Royal Delta this afternoon. Temperatures supposed to be into the mid-70s. Plenty of sunshine, not a single cloud in those powder blue skies. And JT, this is what South Florida is supposed to be like.
Yeah, this is definitely a beach day. There's no question about it. It's a fantastic day here. Not a cloud in the sky. I mean, you can look all around and you don't see any.
Trainer Graham Motion hoping the sun is shining brightly on him and his three-year-olds. Later this afternoon, he sends two horses out in the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate in San Francisco. And, of course, he has rafting going to the post in the Sam F. Davis just across the state at Tampa Bay Downs. We'll talk to Graham in just a moment, but want to remind you that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies of AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike as the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip. The successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues at Lane's End. Visit lanesend.com. Well, Graham Motion, as I mentioned, has a very busy afternoon and a busy morning, so we appreciate him taking a few minutes with us here on the Equine Forum. Graham, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Happy to have you on board and looking forward to seeing the three-year-olds get rolling later this afternoon. Let's start with the Sam F. Davis and start with rafting. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about getting him going again. This has kind of been my plan since he won at Calder in December. We thought it would be good just to back off him a little bit. He'd had several races, and it seemed like a good time just to give him a little break. I mean, we didn't stop on him, but we just backed off the training and kind of freshened him up with, you know, hoping he's good enough to compete in these three-year-old races.
Well, the Smooth Air was the best race of his life, speed figure-wise. It looks like he ended the season on a high note. Have you noticed any difference in him since you brought him back?
I got to be honest, I've been really happy with him. I mean, his works at Palm Meadows have been good, very good. I think he's got plenty of miles in him. I think he's fit enough. So, you know, hopefully he has some racing luck, but I'm excited about getting him started here.
Grammy's another son of Tappet, much like Mohey Men, and it's almost automatic that if you have a Tappet in your barn, you're going to be running in some big stakes races.
It's phenomenal. I mean, this horse and Tusk, who I'm running out at Golden Gate today, I mean, they always kind of acted like two of my better two-year-olds. So I guess it's not a complete surprise that they're both competing in stakes races here in February in the three-year-old year.
You also get to give a leg up to Hall of Famer Edgar Prado aboard rafting. He was, of course, aboard for that win in the Smooth Air Stakes. Edgar making a comeback from injury. Got to be a big thrill to have him aboard.
Well, it is. I mean, we go a long way back. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. What can you say? He's one of the greatest, and he's. I'm glad he's back. I mean, he had a tough go. He had a nasty spill there at Gulfstream. He's ridden a couple for me this week at Tampa. You know, I think we both wanted to see him get on a couple of horses and have the opportunity to get back to races. So he's ridden a couple of races for me at Tampa this week, and he feels great. I mean, I think he's ready to go.
Well, your horse certainly looks good in there. It's not the stiffest test, the Sam Davis, this year. Pletcher, of course, has the two big horses, but do you feel your horse really, really fits when you look at the race?
Well, I do. You know, I really like my horse. Having said that, Todd is tough to beat anywhere these days. I seem to be finishing second to him, whether it's at Laurel or Gulfstream or Tampa. So he's always a tough competitor, but I'm excited to get him going. And, you know, I think he'll be very competitive.
Well, you don't have to worry about Todd in San Francisco this afternoon, Graham, because he's not running one in the Grade 3 El Camino Real, but you have two. You mentioned Tusk. You also have Cassiopeia, who is owned by Barry Irwin and Team Valor International, and partners, and looks like you're trying to rekindle a little bit of that Animal Kingdom magic with Cassiopeia.
Yeah, this horse is kind of intriguing. We've actually been—he's actually breezed with rafting a couple of times on the dirt here at Palm Meadows, and I was pretty pleased with how he's taken to the dirt. We had the idea of running him here in an allowance race at Gulfstream, but there really wasn't anything till the end of the month, and I didn't really want to wait that long because it just puts you too far behind. Obviously, you know, he's run well in the synthetics, so this Golden Gate race seemed like a logical spot to bring him back. And everything just kind of worked out.
Is he going to be on the Turfway Park schedule leading up to the Derby? Is that what you have in mind, or are you going to try him on the dirt at some point?
Well, look, I think obviously it depends a lot what happens today. But, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to try him on the dirt. But if things went well today and we have the opportunity to come back at Turfway, you know, there's no harm in being conservative until we have to do it, you know. So I think there's a good possibility. Hopefully he runs well today.
All right, how about Tusk? Now, here's a horse that's made all of his starts on the grass. He goes on the synthetic, obviously, this afternoon. What do you need to see from him, Graham, to maintain his position on the Derby trail?
I mean, look, realistically, I think the grass is going to be his thing. I'd be very surprised. He just doesn't seem to me the same kind of horse on the dirt that he is on the grass. He trained really well on the synthetic last summer back at Fair Hill. I like the idea of running him a mile and eighth. We had the opportunity to run a allowance race at Santa Anita on Monday, but I just thought this was a good opportunity for him. Like I said to you guys, I think, you know, early on, him and Rafting, the two Tappets seemed like, you know, my standout two-year-olds, so it's not a complete surprise to see him running today. But I think his future is going to be on the synthetic or the grass.
Graham Motion here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Graham, I know it's a very busy morning for you, so we won't take up any more of your time, but really appreciate you squeezing us in here this morning, and all the best later on this afternoon, and we'll catch up with you here soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Graham Motion here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com.
It was nice of him to squeeze us in, because he literally had to squeeze us in.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah, he really did. It was great for him to take a few minutes and fill us in on, you know, Rafting looks like his best, most legitimate Derby prospect at this point, but he said Cassiopeia is intriguing, and you brought up a good point. If he does take the same path as Animal Kingdom and go to the Spiral Stakes at Turfway Park, you know, it's been done now. He has a proven history of success with that route.
Yeah, and we know after talking to so many trainers over the years that they like to go back into the same pattern, the same stakes races that they've been successful in. So I think it's kind of a natural. When I was handicapping the race, I saw this horse had won on the all-weather in Europe. I said, well, I can see what they're doing here. So it's going to be interesting to see him run. I like him today. I kind of fancy him. And it's nice to know that Graham's so high on Rafting. Sounds like Rafting might be a good little wager at a square price, because you know Todd's horses are going to draw most of the betting action.
Trainer Doug O'Neill set to join us at 9:45 Eastern Time from California. He is set to saddle champion Nyquist, looking to remain undefeated in Monday's San Vicente Stakes. We'll visit with Doug in just a few minutes. But before we get to that point, we will have our Right or Wrong segment. I'll be joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile from New York. Right or Wrong presented by our friends at Sunrise Stallions. We're back to do that next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
If you're not listening to ExpressBet Radio on HRRN, here's what you're missing.
Our pal Rajiv Miraj joins us here on ExpressBet Radio.
This is not your first serious injury. What is it like every day knowing that it is such a risky sport that you're involved in?
I love being a jockey and the risk that I take with injuries and all the stuff that comes along with being a jockey is something that I really don't regret taking. And I really look forward to riding again, and I don't have that in the back of my mind because it's just an occupational hazard, and I just love what I do, and if I'm going to get injured with it, I know it's something that comes with the territory. It doesn't really bring me down too much when I get injured. If it happens, it happens. But when I go riding horses and races, I go to perform to the best of my ability and do the best to try to win and get the best place.
The biggest names in racing are on the A-Train every Wednesday through Friday on ExpressBet Radio.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Cocked and Loaded moves up to the outside to challenge Riker for the lead as they come by the quarter pole. Unbridled Outlaw third. Nyquist is fourth. Exaggerator fifth. Conquest Big E sixth. Swipe is a wide seventh. Off the far turn. Riker the leader. Cocked and Loaded. Nyquist tries to join them. Swipe out in the center of the track. Exaggerator back toward the inside. Nyquist keeps striding forward in the final furlong. He has taken the lead. Swipe moves up behind him toward the outside. Late run from Brody's Cause, but still fifth. It's Nyquist with the lead. Nyquist in front, chased by Swipe. Nyquist to take it. Swipe was home second. Brody's Cause rallied up for third on the outside. Exaggerator was home fourth.
Kurt Becker with the call of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Keeneland this past year. Nyquist wrapping up an undefeated campaign that landed him the championship honors as the nation's top two-year-old last year. And his trainer, Doug O'Neill, joins us in just about 5 minutes from right now as he gets set to saddle Nyquist Monday in the Grade 2 San Vicente to begin his three-year-old campaign, a campaign that will see him race next after today in the Florida Derby right here at Gulfstream Park. And we will have that coverage for you exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by our friends at Sunrise Stallions and their Florida Derby winner, Big Brown. That comes up at the beginning of April. April 2nd is the date of the Florida Derby, and looking forward to that coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Also looking forward to our next segment, which is Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions, home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
And joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile from up in New York. Big A, are you ready?
Born ready, Baron. Born ready.
Yeah, all right, let's do this then. Derby Future Wager Pool Number 2 takes place this weekend. Mohamed and Nyquist figure to take most of the money among the individual wagering interests, but the field of all others will almost certainly be a heavy favorite. Now, over the years, just 7 horses listed in the field in Pool 2 have won the Derby. So, Big A, if you're betting on the future pool, betting your money on all others is a good bet, right or wrong?
That is wrong, Mike, especially this year. I feel like the winner of the Derby is listed in the 23 separate betting interests. The only caveat to that is if owner Rick Porter of Songbird changes his mind, then obviously Songbird will be part of the field, but I don't think that's happening. Off the top of my head, Synchrony, who was third in the Smarty Jones and runs in the Southwest this Monday, is one that I've been keeping an eye on, but I'm certainly not going to take 7-5 on Synchrony, which is likely what the field will wind up going off when the betting closes tomorrow.
Well, I can tell you this. The Pontiff and I sat down and did a little research this week, and of the 7 winners that came from the All Others category in Pool 2, the highest payoff was $10.20 out of those 7. But if you added up all those horses and their total, you got an amount of $48.40. There have been 17 pool two pools. So it would have cost you $34 to wager on the field every single time. If you bet $2 on each one, you ended up with a flat bet profit of $14.40. That's a 42% return on your money. I think it's a good bet. I'll take the 42%. I say you take the field and be done with it.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number two. The National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame's Executive Committee has unanimously approved a measure to designate retired jockey Ramon Dominguez as eligible for Hall of Fame consideration beginning this year. Now, typically, jockeys must be licensed in North America for 20 years before receiving consideration, but because Ramon was injured and forced into retirement in 2013 after riding for 18 years, he would have been eligible this year anyways. This is a good move by the Hall of Fame, right or wrong?
In Ramon's case, I believe this is right. I think this is a good move because you look at his numbers and he's 15 wins shy of 5,000. That just doesn't show the type of gentleman and ambassador of the sport that he is. And that's probably even more important in his case than the numbers. You know, he'd be well on his way to 6,000 had he not gotten injured. So, again, the numbers aside, he's just a classy guy, a great ambassador of the sport. I think it was the right move.
Let me ask you this, though. Does this now set the precedent that we have to do this for all riders who are on a Hall of Fame path but get injured before that 20-year window is up? Do we have to do that for all of them?
I don't think so. I think a guy like Ramon, who dominated, you know, you could have a Hall of Fame trajectory kind of career, and then you could have dominance. He was dominant for 6, 7, 8 years on the toughest circuit in the country, in New York. I think when that happens, you have to make some exceptions as opposed to a guy who constantly grinds it out. He was such a dominating force in the sport, in the toughest circuit. I think you have to make an exception. I found this funny, Mike. I did some research for Express Bet Radio. They made Michael Jordan, the NBA made Michael Jordan wait the full 6 years. The National Hockey League waived the waiting period 10 times most recently for Wayne Gretzky. So it's not something that happens very often. They made Jordan wait. You'd figure you should make any athlete wait, but I think the Hall of Fame did the right thing.
Yeah, good points, and nobody more deserving than Ramon Dominguez, and let's hope he does get voted in this year by the committee. Certainly great stuff. And that is Right or Wrong for this morning, brought to you by Sunrise Stallions, home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. Big A, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Enjoy the Royal Delta today.
Am I right?
All right, we're back
what
to
do
visit
you think?
With
Right or Wrong.
Trainer Doug O'Neill. Thanks, Nikki Z. We're back to visit with Doug O'Neill right after this word from Sunrise.
Frost Giant, the leading New York Stallion of New York Stallion Series stakes races with 8 wins in the last 3 years. A New York Stallion ranking second nationally in his class of 81 sires by A-Runner Index of 2.61 and by ABC Index of 2.12. From the super-rich La Troyenne Stallion family related to such sires as Super Saber, Not For Love, Girolamo, Mooktuck Deem, and Bluegrass Cat. Frost Giant, standing at Keen Stud. Contact Eric Bishop, eric@sunrisestallions.com.
Mike Pena, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Getting ready to visit with trainer Doug O'Neill as he is based in California, getting ready to saddle champion Nyquist later on, on Monday, actually, in the San Vicente, and looking forward to seeing the champ get back into action and begin his campaign.
Yeah, he's such a talented horse and super impressive in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Looking forward to that race Monday. It's a traditional Kentucky Derby prep at Santa Anita. Gets a lot of horses started, especially the ones coming off a layoff, because 7/8 is right where you want to get a horse super sharp for a later campaign.
We are efforting Doug O'Neill at the moment and should have him with us shortly. It gives us an opportunity to remind you of a couple of items. Number one, if you missed any portion of this show and our interviews with Todd Pletcher and Kieran McLaughlin talking about their Derby contenders, Dale Romans was here as well with the live workout of Cherry Wine, who's pointing for the Fountain of Youth. Barry Pearl was here with Jockeys and Jeans, and Graham Motion was here just a short time ago. Tony the Bartender was with us in the first half of the program as well. If you missed any portion, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast at your leisure. You can do that on iTunes as well, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. And JT, on Monday, we're going to debut the Ultimate Kentucky Derby Poll, which will run from this Monday every single Monday on our website all the way through the Kentucky Derby on that first Saturday in May, and it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. It's going to be fun for me to be a part of it, and so we'll be starting that Monday, probably as early as I can get the stuff posted, we'll put it on.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Of course, you can see the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll at horseracingradio.net. It is all presented by our friends at brisnet.com. And as part of that poll, you're going to be able to download free Bris Pass performances for all the Derby contenders that are listed on our particular poll. Actually, you'll be able to do that for all the Derby contenders, even if they're not on the poll, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And a lot of times people want to take a look at those PPs as they're thinking about the race, or you see a horse and you want to see what he's done in the past. It's a really nice feature.
Again, awaiting Doug O'Neill to join us here to wrap up the program for you this morning. Jude, let's talk about this move, bringing Nyquist back in a 7-furlong sprint, and then his next start, if all goes well today, is scheduled to be the Florida Derby right here on April 2nd, which is a mile and an eighth, and then he will go a mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May. A non-conventional schedule, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely not something a lot of trainers would do, but Doug kind of trains the horses specifically for particular races, and he's very thoughtful about the schedules that he puts his horses on. He trains horses in a little bit different manner than a lot of guys do, and so I think it's interesting. I think it's the kind of schedule that suits the horse. He's figured that out.
Well, we're going to find out, because Doug O'Neill is now with us here on the Equine Forum. Doug, really do appreciate the time.
Doing super, doing great, you guys. Great talking to you guys.
Yeah, great to have you on board. We were just discussing the somewhat unconventional schedule that you've laid out for Nyquist, coming back in a 7-furlong sprint, then the Florida Derby right here at Gulfstream Park, and then, of course, the Kentucky Derby, if all goes well. Talk about the decision to map out this type of a campaign.
Well, you know, we got the luxury of already having some Derby points, so that makes it a little more calming that you don't have to chase them. And I just thought, you know, after the little breather we gave him, coming back at 7/8 would be the proper starting point.
Well, it looks like after a couple of easy breezes going 3/4 of a mile, you sharpened him up with a 5/8. That was kind of eye-popping. He must be ready to roll.
He's doing great, Jude. And, you know, I came from the Jude Feld school of training and putting a lot of air in him. And, you know, we did a lot of mile workouts, really, you know, where we went kind of 15-second ace from the starting at the wire and then just picking it up from there. And so he's got a really good foundation, a lot of stamina, and, yeah, like you say, we just wanted to put a little competition back on his mind in his last work, and love the way that went.
Doug, is it true you would be flipping burgers if it wasn't for Jude Feld?
I swear, Anna, believe me, in that burger place, I'd be going burger place to burger place. Thanks to Jude, and Mike Amaday, who, you know, was the one who's like, man, I know Jude. I was on the newspaper staff there at high school. Man, he's a great dude. And of course, I followed Jude as a fan. And then just to be able to go right from high school and Jude putting the shank in my hand, let me walk hots, and, you know, every horse was like a celebrity. I'd gone to the track and watched them and loved on them and bet on them, and here I was walking with them. So it was very, very cool, and thank you, Jude, again for giving me the start.
You know, you've done all the work. I just gave you a shot, but nobody's prouder of you than me, except probably your family, but it's an honor to be associated with you, really.
Right back at you, man. Hopefully it's going to be a big year and a fun year. And I'm feeling really good about the way Monday is shaping up here.
Yeah, Doug, how about the changes that you've noticed in Nyquist over the past couple of months since that win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile?
You know, it's hard to tell being here every day with him. You know, he looks fantastic. But people who haven't seen him for a while, who have seen him recently, say he has, you know, matured, which it makes sense he would. But he's just a really well-balanced, very athletic-looking horse. And you can look at him, you can tell why Dennis and Paul loved him and why Paul wrote a big check for him.
How impressed were you with his Breeders' Cup Juvenile? I mean, did you think you were going to win that race at any time?
No. I went into depression mode after about two furlongs into the race. just the way he got bumped at the start, and he was wide, and, you know, and there's all the sharp handicappers were all kind of poo-pooing his numbers going into it. So as much as we were trying not to listen, we did listen. So there was definitely, by mid-race, I was like, God darn, you know, the experts are right. He maybe just isn't this good. And then to see what he did, it's something that we see every morning. So it was just amazing and really validated how special this guy is.
Well, his detractors are going to point to his pedigree and say, okay, he's a son of Uncle Mo. Maybe he doesn't want to go a mile and a quarter. And you're going to hear a lot of that over the next couple of months, Doug. But you know him better than anybody. So how do you answer those people that say he can't handle the longer distances? Because he certainly hasn't looked like he can't handle them to this point.
So pedigrees are funny. And I think, you know, we've been in this business long enough to know that horses can run to their pedigree, outrun their pedigree, not run to their pedigree. And all you got to do is look at my brother Dennis and I. I mean, I think we're from the same parents. And I mean, he's give the old Frank Lyon saying, Dennis got to run around the shower to get wet. And, you know, I don't have to get in the shower and I get wet. So it's, I think pedigree at this point, you know, he's 5 for 5 and hasn't done anything wrong. And I think there's nothing wrong at all being by Uncle Mo. And I think if he would have been able to stay healthy longer, I think you would have saw him do even more special things on the track. And as a sire now, he's been incredible. So I'm very proud he's by Uncle Mo, and I don't think that's going to slow him down one bit as far as distance-wise.
Yeah, I agree.
But Laz Barrera told me, Doug, that any horse could go a mile and a half. You just had to train him to do it. And, of course, he did that with Bold Forbes. And now we see, the great Mare Beholder. I mean, she's not bred to go farther than 7/8 maximum. And, you know, she beat the boys like a drum in the Pacific Classic going a mile and a quarter. So I have to agree with you. I mean, and your horse, he just seems to be so tenacious and so game. And I don't think distance is going to bother him. He doesn't know how far he's running. He just keeps running.
I agree with you. And I think it's a mindset, you know, and no doubt there are certain pedigrees that you pretty much are sure aren't going to go two turns, but Uncle Mo is so new and so fresh. And I think, you know, just the mind that Nyquist has, like you say, he's a fighter. He does what he has to do to win. And we see it, you know, day in, day out, the stamina he shows, you know. So I'm excited. And I just read that Jay Huffy piece, and they mentioned Bold Forbes using the San Vicente as one of his preps on his way to the Derby. So very cool.
Trainer Doug O'Neill joining us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, just about a minute and a half left before we have to wrap up the show. But in terms of what you're going to be looking for this on Monday afternoon, with this comeback race, put us in the saddle or put us in the stands with you. What are you going to be looking for and hoping to see outside of course, a winning effort?
Yeah, we're going to look for a nice, clean break, good position, and we're going to have him settled early. Mario knows him so well, he gets on him all the time. And then, you know, probably he always seems to kind of blue-collar it around the turn. Mario's kind of got to get after him to get into it, and as soon as he turns for home, he usually really starts picking up some steam. So that's the way I see it, him laying back maybe mid-pack and then picking them up around the turn and then hopefully getting the job done down the lane.
Well, Doug, you're always very gracious with your time. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to look forward to catching up with you along this road to the Derby, and all the best on Monday, my friend. Go get it done.
Well, thanks to Jude. No burger flipping at this point. No burger flipping. Thank you. Take care, you guys.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy. Always has been. First guy to the barn in the morning, you know, always willing to help. My other guys, they couldn't believe his enthusiasm. They just let him do all the work. He was great.
Well, in that line about I would be flipping burgers if it wasn't for Jude Feld, I think he says it in every interview that he does, certainly with us.
You beat him to the punch.
It was going to come up at some point. It's his favorite line.
Yeah, well, he's a character, but I appreciate the fact that he's very complimentary of me.
Yeah, and I loved his point about the pedigree. And, you know, being by Uncle Mo, there's nothing wrong with being by Uncle Mo. The horse is off to a phenomenal start at stud. And then, you know, people forget that he was injured before he could really show what he could do at longer distances when he was on the racetrack. Right. So I don't think you discount this horse just because he's by Uncle Mo, so to speak, as many of the pundits would have you believe.
Yeah, well, and they don't like his bottom side. I just always hearken back to Beholder, you know, because Beholder has really outrun her pedigree for sure. And, you know, she's an awesome, awesome mare.
Well, somehow we pulled it off. A very busy show. You can go back and check out the podcast, horseracingradio.net. Check out the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll presented by Brisnet.com starting on Monday morning on our website as well. Our thanks to Todd Pletcher, to Tony Guidici, the bartender here at Gulfstream, to Kieran McLaughlin, Adele Romans, Barry Pearl, Graham Motion, and to trainer Doug O'Neill. It was a very, very busy show. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Della Pina, in our Lexington studios, to the Baroness, my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site here with us, and to the Pontiff of the Pick Four. Well done, brother.
Yeah, good show. Great guests.
All right, we're back this afternoon, 1:30 Eastern, exclusive coverage of the Royal Delta. Sirius 93 is your home for that coverage as well. Check it all out. And because nothing good comes with deviation, hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.